This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the WadeFord.com hotline, a good friend of this show, Aaron Freeman, the host of the daily Locked On Falcons podcast, back to Sports Radio 929 The Game. It's been a minute since he's been on with me. So, Aaron, first off, my friend, good evening. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Eric. I always appreciate talking ball with you.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. Now, Aaron, I'm not going to steal your glory because I watched your podcast yesterday, and there's a lot of Falcons fans walking around with their heads hanging down and like, man, we ain't got no money. We broke. We ain't got no money. And you tried to tell some folks yesterday that that may not be the case. So break it down for the listeners. If they haven't checked you out on Locked On Falcons, shame on them. I'm going to get them to your page. Don't worry. But my Dirty Birds might have some dollars and cents. Tell them how you broke it down for them.
Yeah, basically my mantra is the salary cap is a lie, Eric, because basically the salary cap can be manipulated however you want to manipulate it. If the Falcons want to have money to spend this offseason, they will have plenty of avenues in order to create the cap space necessary. They can get about $8 million by cutting David Onyemata. They could create another $16 million if they choose to cut Grady Jarrett. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's definitely on the table as a possibility, and that would open up a ton of cap space. The Falcons are currently projected to be about $5 million over the salary cap. So cutting Onyemata would get them under the salary cap. They need to make that move by Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern time when you officially have to be under the salary cap. And really the flexibility that the Falcons have when it comes to their salary cap beyond just cutting guys is their ability to restructure a bunch of contracts. There are so many players on this team that have these high-priced contracts, that have these big cap hits, that they can be able to restructure those contracts, move money, lower base salaries, move that money into future years. It's a strategy that the New Orleans Saints have implemented, much to their detriment, maybe a little bit too much, but the Falcons have done this in the past as well. They've done this consistently throughout the Terry Fontenot era, whether you're looking at, you know, $9, $10 million for Chris Lindstrom restructure, an A.J. Terrell restructure. Jake Matthews is also a guy, a candidate to restructure for that amount. Jesse Bates could be another $6 million. So the reality of the situation that if the Falcons want to get out in this initial tampering phase in this first week of free agency, in this first wave of free agency where all the money is thrown around, they have potentially $30 to $40 million fairly easily that they can play around with if they want to get aggressive.
Now, Aaron, listen to you say all that makes me think of what my mama would call back in the day, robbing Peter to pay Paul, because that's what the Falcons are going to have to do. They're going to have to rob Peter a little bit and find a way to pay Paul. Now, let's talk about who Paul could be. I'm going to throw three names at you, and I know which one our guy Jarvis Davis, because like I said, I watched your podcast yesterday, wants that call to be. I'm going to throw these three names at you. You tell me which one you would call first if you were Terry Fontenot, or maybe give me another name entirely. But the three names I have written down, Joey Bosa, Vaughn Miller, Khalil Mack. Would either of those people be one of your first three calls, your first call, or give me another name?
Of those three, Khalil Mack is the name that immediately shoots to the top of the list. Now, paying for Khalil Mack is not going to be cheap. There are a lot of contract projections, and we'll see what type of money he gets. But, you know, I've seen a lot of projections that expect his contract to be north of $20 million per year, somewhere in that $22-23 million
range. How old is Khalil Mack? He still can get that kind of paper?
Yes. Well, the good thing that Khalil Mack has going for him is he can sit there and say, 2 years ago I had 18 sacks in the NFL, so come get me. And so I think he is the guy that, when you look at these three guys, has put together the most productive film over the last couple of seasons. Joey Bosa has been dealing with injuries, same thing with Von Miller. Von Miller, after leaving the Rams, playing for Raheem Moore, so there is that connection there. So it would not shock me if the Falcons brought in Von Miller to kind of be the mentor for a potential first-round pass rusher that they take later this offseason. But the issue with Von Miller is, since he's left L.A. in 2021, he has not been that productive these last couple of years with the Buffalo Bills and been dealing with injuries. Khalil Mack, on the other hand, doesn't really have the injury bugs, has the productivity, and I watched him really give this Falcons offensive line a lot of trouble in that game after the bye week this past season in week 13. So I still think Khalil Mack has a lot of good football left in him, and if you can get him on a short-term contract, you know, a two-year deal or something like that, I think that would make a ton of sense for the Falcons.
You heard it from Aaron Freeman, the host of Locked On Falcons. Call Khalil Mack, fly him into town on that private jet, take him to Bones, take him to where's Steak when I need him, Steak Shapiro. Take him to Ruth Chris, take him to wherever it is that you can wine and dine him and get that thing done. After you move that money around, Rob Peter to pay Paul. Sports Radio 929 The Game, joined on the waitforit.com hotline with my guy Aaron Freeman, host of the Locked On Falcons podcast, where you get your daily podcast information. Okay, Aaron, keeping down this list of questions. So you just mentioned it, first round pick. Are you on the fence of stay at 15, trade back, or if you find a name that you're in love with?
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Go up and get them.
My first goal would be the trade back. Obviously, it depends on who's on the board, but if I'm not sitting there at 15 in love with a pass rusher at that spot, or I feel like the guy that I could get that's the best available on the board at that spot is not significantly better than the guy that I could get 5 spots later, 10 spots later in the draft, I'm going to try to trade back, try to pick up a second, a third, a fourth, whatever I can to pad out the Falcons draft class. Now, obviously, it takes two to tango. A lot depends on the board. So a trade back is an ideal situation, but you don't know. You can't rely on that when it comes to draft night. So I think at this point in time, because the Falcons only have 5 draft picks, I am completely against the idea of trading up, giving away more of those draft picks in order to move up for a player that is at best a question mark, is at best a gamble when it comes to the draft. So I would probably, what's probably the most realistic option at this point in time, without having that trade in front of me in the terms of a trade back, is to stick and pick and take the best pass rusher available at that 15 spot, whether that's someone who can rush from the edge or maybe that's an interior player, particularly, again, depending on what situation happens with Grady Jarrett, you know, that does potentially open the door. If the Falcons do choose to move on from Grady Jarrett this week, that does open the door for an interior pass rusher. And I think there's a lot of good D tackles that could be available at that 15th overall spot, in addition to some of the edge rushers.
keeping it going here with Aaron Freeman. So, Aaron, this next question I think is a time date on this, and I know you know the answer. I don't know it for sure. But is it a week from now, 10 days from now? When does Off the Blank have to stroke a check to Kirk Cousins if he's still wearing the red and black of the Atlanta Falcons here coming up soon?
My understanding, it is a week from now. It is technically Monday the 17th is when the Falcons will have to pay that check. Where Arthur Blank, I believe at 4 p.m. Eastern time, if Kirk is still on the roster on that day, he will get a $10 million, or he will have a $10 million check that is due to him in 2026, fully guaranteed at that point in time. So I believe it is Monday. So if you have me on this time next week, Eric, we will hopefully have an answer on how the Kirk Cousins saga ends.
Oh, you're hurting my heart. You're hurting my heart. $10 million to a man who lied, cheated, robbed us. And if he's still here, we got to give him 10 more. I mean, that's just part of it. We got to give him more money after that, too. What's going to happen in the next 7 days? Oh, man, we'll see. You know, that's a way we could trade up. Call one of these quarterback-needy teams. Like, hey, don't you want number 15 and Kirk Cousins so we can come up 5 spots? You think can we bamboozle somebody into that deal? Probably not. Probably not.
I think a lot of teams are saying, hey, the Falcons, you took that L. You're not going to get us to take it for you.
There you go. Sports Radio 929 Game. All right, we're going to keep it going here. As free agency, technically the legal tampering starts tomorrow at 12 noon, and Aaron Freeman is breaking it all down for us and what the Falcons will, maybe, might not, could do, should do, or would do. So we do know one name. Actually, last segment, I went through about 15 names of people that I'm like, yep, you ain't getting a phone call. You ain't getting a phone call. Maybe you will. So we do know the phone call is going to happen. How long will it last when the Falcons get on the line with Drew Dahlman's agent? I said, if the conversation starts with, well, who's the highest paid center, automatically hang up. But if it starts with something like, well, what's the average of the top five? Well, we can have this conversation. What do you say? Do they go into a deep conversation about Drew Dahlman, or do they just say, hey, you know what, we appreciate your time, but you got to go?
Well, I think since we're sitting here, you know, with T-minus, 15 hours before the tampering period, it doesn't look particularly good that the Falcons are going to be able to keep Drew Dahlman at this point. It probably would
have already been announced. That's what you're trying to say?
Yeah. it does feel like if you're Drew Dahlman, it's like, you know, hey, let's wait. Let's have a good night's sleep and see what's what on Monday, and then we'll see what's what. And it does sound like he is going to get the bag this offseason from some teams. Doing Locked On, I know of several Locked On hosts that are of the opinion that their team is going to sign Drew Dahlman. So that is going to raise his price tag. And I do feel like for the Falcons, ultimately, if they're going to try to win a potential bidding war for Drew Dahlman, it's how willing are they willing to pay? How much are they willing to pay for having that stability on the middle of their offensive line? Drew Dahlman is a good football player, but he is not one of the elite centers in the NFL. He's certainly one of the better ones, top 10, top 15 guys. But this offseason, you might have to pay him like he's maybe the second or third best center in the NFL. And that may be too pricey for the Atlanta Falcons. So I expect the Falcons to let Drew Dahlman test his market, and he'll probably get the bag from another team, and they'll be searching for a new answer at that center position this season.
You're right. Like I said, if the conversation even started with, well, who's the highest paid? Nope, we're done. Done. Conversation over. I knew you were going there. I just had to ask anyway. Sports Radio 99 The Game. A few more minutes here with my guy Aaron Freeman, host of Locked On Falcons. We're talking free agency, draft plans for the Falcons, what they're going to do, what can they not do. The Falcons have about 20 names on the free agency list that they can bring back. Tell me your thoughts on Kadarius Hodge. I said they better bring him back just for the things he does on special teams. He does come out with a big catch every year now and then, but his special team play and how important it is for the success of these Falcons, he has to be back in the red and black next year.
Absolutely. You know, after Drew Dahlman being the number one priority re-signed for the Atlanta Falcons, number two on that list all along for me has been Kadarius Hodge, coming off the Pro Bowl year, as you mentioned, one of the best Pro Bowl, one of the best special teams players in the NFL. Certainly been consistently the Falcons' most valuable special teams player since he arrived in Atlanta back in 2022. So these last three seasons. And as you mentioned, every now and then you'll get a big play from Kadarius Hodge. I'm like, oh, yes. This guy also can contribute on offense, and so that makes him really the kind of the perfect number four wide receiver for the Falcons, a guy that you can play on special teams, a guy that if an injury happens to one of your top three receivers, you can plug him in and feel like you're not going to lose a huge ton of value.
All right, last one before I let you go, get back to your Sunday evening. Appreciate your time always and every ways. I had you on my show last year in the preseason time of the year, and I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you then. Hopefully you can give me the same answer and it comes to reality. In 2025, do you envision that our Falcons can find their way back to the top of the NFC South? This is a winnable division. This was supposed to be our division last year, and yet we were third in the division after everything. Can we get there? Will we get there? What can we do?
Well, Erica, this is one instance where you waiting to have me on your show actually gives you the better answer. Because if you had asked me this on January 9th, I would have been a lot more pessimistic about the Falcons' chances coming off the season that they had. But now that we're in March and before, you know, maybe a week from today, I'll be a little bit more disappointed with how the Falcons approach this first week of free agency and maybe not feel as optimistic as I am sitting here today. But hey, it's Sunday. No moves have officially been made. And so I'm feeling optimistic about the Falcons' ability and Michael Penix's ability to lead this team to their first division crown in however many years.
7-8 long years. Okay, well, I appreciate that. I think so, too. I really think this team is two or three players away from winning this division. That's what we were last year. We were two or three plays away from winning this division last year, because even though we finished 8-9, you give me two or three plays in the right scenario, we were easily 10-7 or 9-8 and maybe in a different situation. So, you know, I will be reaching out to you after the draft, maybe even after free agency, and I'll definitely be reaching out to you as we get into the preseason. But for now, I appreciate your time, and tell everybody where they can find all your content.
Of course, you can find Locked On Falcons free and available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and that's the guy, at Aaron Freeman. Appreciate you, man. You go have your Sunday dinner if you haven't had it yet, and I'll be talking to you soon.
All right, thanks for talking with me, Aaron.